In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Morning. As we've heard, this morning we're dealing with the parable of the sower out of Matthew. And there have been times and things that I've read that were written where people like to refer to this, not just the parable of the sower, but they'll say it's the parable of the soils. We should really think about it this way, or it's the parable of the seed, and we need to think about it this way. And I would say those two things are important. But my struggle with that is we can very easily lose sight of the sower. We need to know who the sower is. Who's the sower? Jesus. Always the right answer. A little more enthusiasm, be good. But this Jesus is the sower. If we decide to focus on the seed, or most especially the soil, it's suddenly just about us. And we lose sight of some very real concepts of what it means to deal with the sower, to deal with this Jesus. Serious question for you today. Did you come here today to see what you might receive? Or did you come here today to praise God? See, because we seem to get that a little mixed up sometimes, don't we? We come here to receive, which is true. But if you're truly going to receive, it comes in the times in which we praise God. And if we get that out of alignment, just like we could get this parable out of alignment, we are not receiving or gaining what God truly has for us. So the key to understanding is the parable is you have to know the sower comes first. See, because here's the interesting thing. The sower continues to throw the seed on all the soils. He knows very well that all of it is landing on good soil. Thing we need to understand is we don't want to grab a hold of what soil we might be and just be satisfied with that. Soil changes. I can tell you for sure, those little baggies were filled in my yard. Not the good soil, that came out of a bag in the garage. It doesn't look so different here, but when we lived in Wisconsin, the spring would come, and the kids that lived on the farms, which was many in the area where we were, always hated that. You know what they called it? Rock season. The very fields that had produced the year before, they had to go out there while Dad towed the little trailer through the field, and they literally picked up rocks and threw them on the trailer, because the frost pushed them up. See, soils change in seasons. We change in seasons. So we can't just claim this soil and go, well, I'm just going to be this kind of soil and see what happens. We have to know that the sower is going to change us. We have to let the sower work with the soil. Nobody sows seed without working the soil. I mean, we live in a semi-rural area. It doesn't take long to walk out there and see what they do to the fields around here. They look very different right now than they did when the strawberries were coming in. Now they're all rolled flat, aren't they, to keep the dust down, or they planted wildflowers or something. They're fallow is what it means. But we need to know that there's an opportunity, and if we lose sight of who the sower is, we may lose sight of who's working the soil. So I want you to hold on to this concept as we go through and see this. How can we truly receive what it is that Jesus is teaching us? You know this Jesus, right? You know, the Jesus who loves you unconditionally. The Jesus who is always there for you in your times of sorrow, in your times of joy, in your times of struggle. He brings comfort and he brings peace and he brings forgiveness and he brings grace and he brings mercy. This Jesus who gave all for you. This Jesus. The one that we come here to give our praise and thanksgiving to. This opportunity that he's put before us when we come to worship. The opportunity for him to transform our lives. This is the Jesus that I want you to hold on to. This is the sower. And he begins in verse 18. I'm skipping the parable because, you know, he's explaining it, so why bother with the parable? We've heard that. He goes, "Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom," the word of the kingdom, this is what is being sown into us, is the very word of God. Not just rules and regulations get from here to there, but the fullness of our salvation coming to fruition in his kingdom, which is beyond all of us at the moment, beyond most of our thought processes. But that is really the reality of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. To know that all that he has given you, all the strength that he can put into you, all of the presence of his spirit within you is given to you so that we can be with him for eternity in his kingdom. Amen? This is what he's pressing in. This is what's being sown, is this reality of that good news. Salvation, the fullness of our salvation. But he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. And what is sown in the heart, this is what was sown on the path. I don't know if you've had this experience. I certainly have and continue to. Is I'll read scripture or I'll listen to somebody teaching on scripture and I discover something that troubles me a little bit. I have no idea what they're talking about. Now, sometimes in our world, that means you just keep your mouth shut because it's uncomfortable. We assume everyone else in the room or in the space knows exactly what the person's talking about. Amen? Little secret. They don't. If you've ever attended a Bible study with me, undoubtedly you've watched somebody ask me a question and I go, I don't know. I don't know. I know some things. But I do not know everything. But we're so afraid somebody's going to think we don't know anything. We just don't put ourselves in the position of actually hearing the word of God at a depth that might change us, that might work the soil a little bit. So we just don't go. Amen? It's dangerous. And you know why it's so easy to do that? Listen to what Jesus says. The one who does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. So every single time we do that, every time we're invited to a study and we go, I don't really do that. I don't really spend a lot of time reading the Bible. Well, no kidding, that's why somebody's inviting you to come. And quite frankly, what we need is more people like us to come to encourage us to study as we're trying to encourage others to study, amen? And when we don't do that, and we just pull back from it, we start to lose our deeper understanding of God. We become the path. The seed doesn't stick. We begin to question everything. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root. They have no root. They can't get the deeper understanding that comes when we strive to be taking in all that God is giving us through his word. We're in a unique season at Holy Innocence. Where finding a Bible study is really easy. Getting engaged in a Bible study can be done at many times during the day and many ways during the day, and every hour of the very early morning. If you want to get up and be at Panera at 6:30 a.m., gentlemen, I am there most of the time. I'm physically present. I'm not always fully there. How many of you are starting to understand what I mean about hearing the Word of God? How many of you are actively engaged in a Bible study right now at a level that maybe you never have been before in your life? Apparently they all go to 8. Has it changed your life? I can hear the head shaking, can you? The Word of God transforms, not whatever program the church comes up with, not whatever book is popular, not what some theologian has put together for us. The very transforming root of the church comes from the Word of God. And when we grab a hold of that and we take that in and we don't struggle with all the other things around us, when we let it come all the way into our lives, when we dive into the opportunities to study with other people most especially, that is when the transformation happens. When we walk it together, when we have the conversations, that's when it goes deeper. That's when we clear out the rocky part of the soil. We help each other do that. And when we do that and that seed takes root, that's a very different thing. It's not that lighthearted sort of struggle that can happen, or maybe the deep struggle comes. Somebody is very excited. We get excited to hear the good news of Jesus. Amen? And we come into the church, we're like, this is going great. We're loving it. It's fabulous. The people are nice and whatever, and then suddenly somebody's not. You know? A funny thing, you drag the church together. I don't know if you're aware of this, you automatically have just gathered a bunch of sinful people. And every once in a while, we sin against each other, amen? Not necessarily intentionally. And we got to live into that. Or something tragic happens. I don't know, maybe this is true for you too, but I've talked to a lot of people, way too many in my life, in my career as a priest, that have said to me, well, I used to go to church. Because, and then this person did this or this person did that, and I said, that's not for me. I tell people all the time, I said, if you're going to build a relationship with the church, it's going to fall apart. You build a relationship with Jesus, and then you can tolerate being in the church. That's just the truth. Because it's going to be broken. It has no choice. Top to bottom. The struggle is when we don't struggle. Something does happen in our lives, and suddenly I start hearing things from people that say, I really don't go to church anymore because I just can't deal with your God. My life was going really well. I was going to church, and I was really loving it. And then this tragedy struck. Somebody got sick. Somebody died. They lost a job. It could be any, whatever the tragedy was for their life, and they're like, I just can't understand a God that would let that happen. What they're saying is, how did God do that to me? Well, God didn't do it. The fallen world did it. What God has done for you is provide you with the promises of His Word so that when these things happen, you can stand on the Word of God. Amen? Not on how you're feeling. Not on how some other sinful person may have pressed into your life or how some disease walked into your life or some tragedy struck. That's going to happen when we live in a fallen world. The question is, do you want the equipped Word of God to equip you to stand in it? And what I'd say is, when we start, that rocky soil doesn't allow for it. We got to let the sower work on the soil, amen? So then we keep moving. So we don't want to fall away, as it says in verse 21. It says, but at 22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. This is when we fit God into our lives. This is where we say, well, I could do that, or I'd rather do this. I don't want to be distracted by church. I'm going to do life, and when I have time, I'll do church. We've all been there. It reminded me of a skit that we used to do, and nobody reminded me if it was Happening or New Beginnings. decades of that stuff, I can't remember. I remember the skit. I'll just give you an overview. There's this, a couple of teenagers usually do the skit. One of them's kind of hanging out at home, and the other one plays Jesus. And while this one's hanging out at home, Jesus comes to visit. They're going to spend time with Jesus, right? They're sitting on the couch, usually a couple of chairs at Dayspring or something, pretending it's a couch, and they're talking, you know, Jesus, I'm so glad you're here. I love you, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then somebody calls, they call. We're going to go do this thing. I'm checking with the youth person over there. She's giving me the yes, you're right. And they're going to go off and do some other thing, and it's more of a worldly thing. And the person's like, oh, hey, something's come up. I got to go. And they start to leave. And the person playing, they get up, and they start to leave, and the person playing Jesus just follows them. And they're like, what are you doing? I have to go do this. I'll be back. And they go to leave, and Jesus keeps coming with them. And then in their frustration, they take this person who's playing Jesus, and they walk up to them, they grab their feet, and they say, you stay right here. And when they're done, this person's now standing like this. You get the point. See, when Jesus comes to us and we leave him, we're just putting him back on the cross. We're choosing the world over him. And it can happen in very subtle ways, and it can happen in very obvious ways. But that's what happens when the seed falls among the thorns. That's when the Word of God is coming into us and we're saying, I like that until I find something I like better. I like that until I'm asked to do something that feels like I'm going to have to sacrifice some part of my life. And then I'm not as interested. This is kind of the way God moves. Had a lovely conversation in between with our with our senior warden who sat in the Bible study. Learned a little something about Nineveh. Amen? Anybody else sit in that study? Yeah, now some of us knew that because it's our job to know that. No wonder he didn't want to go to Nineveh. It was a terrible place. And I was laughing. I said, you know, I think about that when someone comes to me and they say, I just can't, this is too hard. It requires too much of me. I'm not willing to do this. God would never ask me to do something this difficult. And I laugh. I'm going, you never heard of Jonah. He was supposed to go give the word of God to a people group that were just as happy to put you on a stick outside the city. Or in front of a train, maybe. But the reality is this, God asks us to do things that are very difficult and require us to sacrifice. If the seed is only falling among the thorns, we will only do the things that are convenient to us. And I can promise you, if you live your whole entire faith doing what is convenient to you, you will not be living the fullness of the life that God has for you. Jesus is teaching us that. There are ways in which we are to receive his word, and there's ways where we just hear it. It's a question of, you know, the old story. Do you know God or do you know God? There's a difference. How far are you willing to go? Jesus says, well, if you want it, you got to go all the way. You know, this Jesus who went all the way for you. This Jesus is teaching this parable. He is the sower of his word. Why would we care? Well, but as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Seems like Jesus wants something from us. As he sows the seed into us, he's calling us to become sowers with him by the power of his Holy Spirit, with his strength. He calls us to bear fruit. Now, I think it's still on the track. Think about it for just a minute. How do we tell, unless it's genetically modified, how do we know we're dealing with a fruit when we're eating it? What do we find inside of it? Seeds. So in the process of bearing fruit in the midst of this parable, if we are called to bear fruit, by default, seed is being produced. And it's not so that we can gain some sort of glory. The glory is to God. What we're looking for is the opportunity to, with God's help, sow the seed of his word into one another, into others, so that they will come to understand the fullness of his salvation that is offered to us. So that when Jesus comes and consummates this kingdom, they'll be with us and with him for eternity. We get so caught up in this life, brothers and sisters, we forget God has a bigger plan. He's inviting us into it. Jesus is inviting it into us. He is showing us, I am going to pour the seed into you. Yeah, well, our soil might look different from one season to another. But the closer you stay to the sower, the more likely it is to work the soil. Amen? And that's what we're here to do, so that we can gain some information. When we arrive here on a Sunday, yeah, we are going to likely receive, but I promise if you truly want to receive, come to give. Come to give praise to God. And then one of our preachers, one that's maybe better or funnier or whatever it might be, God may use them to work your soil, so that a seed can go deeper, so that we can be producers of fruit, so that the message of salvation can grow. See, we come here to praise God, to hear his word, to let it change us and transform us so that we can grow into that and those who God's called us to be, so that we can become partners with him in this ministry that he's giving us, partners in the sowing of the seed, so that he can produce the fruit. We come in here in this very space to meet Jesus in the sacrament of his very body and blood, reminding us how far he was willing to go for us. Before we knew him, and while we were yet still sinners, he gave his life for us. And he says, come with me and I will give you life abundant. So we come here to meet him at this altar. Brothers and sisters, when you walk out of here, don't leave him here.